This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have a great, great, great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Christian Gunderson. If exposure to a single bout of anabolic steroids, namely testosterone, alters the architecture of muscle for a lifelong period or for some period of time further out than just the cycle itself, it's going to be a very interesting discussion. And then during the second hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Michael Gonzalez. And this kind of picks up from the show that we did yesterday, discussing cancer as a metabolic disease as opposed to a genetic disease. Correcting mitochondrial dysfunction, orthomolecular interventions for cancer and other disease states. So that ought to be pretty good as well. So let's get underway quickly here. Dr. Christian Gunderson, how are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you.
My pleasure. Yeah.
What made you do this study in the first place? Was it specifically to see the physiological changes that can occur from a single bout of anabolic steroids, or was it specifically to assess the nature of doping in sports today?
I would rather say neither of the two. I think our goal was to investigate this phenomenon that we call muscle memory. And this goes right into, I would say, training studio folklore. People have this notion that if they've once been strong, even if they have a long period of detraining, they can easily get strong again. You know, I was lifting weight when I was young, etc. And that helps you now. People have all these ideas. And we found a biological explanation for that. So in a series of papers now, we have investigated this phenomenon. And then testosterone was, for us, initially just a tool. It was a way of creating changes in the muscle that is the foundation for this muscle memory.
Let me ask you a question. You used female mice in this particular study that I'm looking at.
Correct.
Now. Why female mice? Why not castrated male mice, since the androgen receptor landscape is different in women than it is in men?
Well, I mean, it was just a simpler model, and we certainly wanted to have a dramatic result. Since this is basic research, we wanted to prove a principle. That's the reason we didn't use normal male mice.
Okay. Okay.
But I think females then worked fine for this.
Now talk about the study for a second, the design of the study. So these female mice were treated with the testosterone propionate, which is a very fast acting testosterone, correct?
Yeah, so we implanted a pellet under the skin of these mice, and that pellet will release them a certain dosage per day, or per hour. I mean, it's a continuous release, and that pellet was implanted for 2 weeks. And at that time, when we investigated the muscles, they were much larger than normal. And they had then an increased number of cell nuclei. You know, these muscle fibers, they have multiple cell nuclei.
Right.
One of the very few cells in the body that has that. And each nucleus work as, it's surrounded by a synthetic machinery to synthesize muscle protein. And so we saw both these effects, that you get an increase in the number of nuclei and you get an increase in size. And you also see that after exercise. Now, we then took away the testosterone and we waited for 3 months, which is pretty long for a mouse that only lives for 2 years. And when we looked at the muscles then, they were like normal when you just looked at them. They were no larger than normal. They had returned to their normal size or the same size as control mice that only got sham pellets then. And but the number of nuclei was increased. The number of cell nuclei within each muscle fiber was much higher than normal or the control group. And when we then subjected these muscles to a form of overload exercise, experimental overload exercise, the experimental muscles during the first 6 days grew by 30%, while the control muscles grew only 6%. It was an insignificant
amount.
So it was a huge difference. And the only difference we can see, that there might be other mechanisms, but the only difference we can see is that the number of nuclei is so much higher in these mice that had seen the testosterone a long time ago.
Now, okay, so, good, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I should add that. Now, it's hard to compare to humans, right? I mean, 3 months is not such a long time in humans. And we certainly need to repeat these experiments in humans. But cell nuclei in muscle in humans are extremely stable. I mean, muscle is a so-called permanent tissue. It's like the brain. You don't really have a turnover of cells or nuclei, a very low turnover. And that's the case both in the brain and in muscles. And for this reason, there are good reasons to believe that this is a very long-lasting effect.
Okay, and it should be understood that this increase in nuclei and myofibril changes is also experienced in heavy resistance training by itself. But it seems like there is a greater degree of it when the testosterone was present in the body. Now, the question I have, first of all, is what kind of dosage were these mice getting? Were these considered... obviously, I know there's a formulary that you use to compare a human dosing to mouse and rat doses. Was this a physiologically pertinent dosage, or were these supraphysiological doses?
I think they are supraphysiological doses, but they would be comparable, I guess, to doses that are used by bodybuilders that are doping themselves.
Right. Okay, great. And so,
certainly super physiologically for female mice.
Right. Obviously. Yeah, of course. And that obviously is another part of this scenario here. Okay. So then when they were allowed to wash out, so to speak, the testosterone was withdrawn and the rats, I would imagine, or the mice were allowed to be sedentary, right? There was no, exercise.
Well, they are kind of sedentary all the time. They are just living in a normal cage. And we didn't do any sort of efforts to train them. This was just an effect of the testosterone. And I would have to say that it was pretty dramatic, because if you use testosterone alone or this type of experimental overload exercise that we are using alone, then the testosterone are more efficient. But if you use both, the effects are additive.
Now, were their diets monitored? Were they allowed to eat ad libitum, or were they monitored on how much nutritional intake they were having as a group?
That was not monitored. There was ad libitum. Yes.
Yeah, because I would wonder if the mice that were receiving the testosterone and experiencing the greater growth were also consuming greater energy as well.
We did not measure that.
Okay. Interesting. But we saw
behavioral differences in these mice.
There were behavioral differences. Tell me about them.
Yes,
please.
There were. Well, they were much more aggressive. So female mice are usually not that aggressive. And even if there were only female mice in the cage, they were extremely sexually active.
So they were experiencing, were they mounting other mice almost like males would mount them?
Correct. They were mounting each other, so it was sort of a form of a lesbian sexual activity.
Yeah, but that makes sense. Males are expected to be aggressive. It's part of our evolutionary model, and clearly, if you give men estrogen, they start acting like women, and if you give women testosterone, they start acting like men. So that I would imagine that wasn't surprising, but I'm wondering did you assay any other hormones in these mice?
No, we did not. I mean, the focus for our study, as I said in the beginning here, It was not really to study doping or hormonal effects. For us, this was mainly a tool to increase, in a reversible way, to increase muscle mass and number of muscle nuclei. Unfortunately, we might have used training, but there's no good training model for rodents, strength training model. So we have to resort then to surgical models where we cut synergist muscles,
right,
and then overload the remaining muscles. And that is not reversible. And to study this sort of memory effect, we needed a reversible model. So that was the reason we used testosterone.
Interesting.
We have not been interested in the details of testosterone itself, so we have not really.
You're not interested in the pathway that it's actually causing these changes. You're just interested whether or not it causes the changes. I understand entirely.
At this stage, yes, we are. But we are will be looking also at other effects that could explain this memory phenomenon that I think is interesting. And so we are planning on looking at epigenetics. Changes in the genome that might also contribute, but we don't know if that will give us anything.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we've got lots more questions. This is a very, very interesting interview. We're talking right now with Dr. Christian Gunderson. We're talking about a single exposure to anabolic steroids, namely testosterone. Does it have some sort of long-acting effect that goes way beyond the actual period of use? This is an interesting discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the hard questions.
Where are the convictions for the drugs that are being used right now that are killing people?
The government is too afraid to answer.
You see all the attorneys, hey, if you develop cancer after taking this supplement, call our law office because we got a class action suit coming together.
Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On Superhuman Radio.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business. Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long, because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the superhuman nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Christian Gunderson. We're talking about exposure to testosterone, especially super physiological levels. Does it change the architecture of muscle, and for how long? So, Dr. Gunderson, 3 months later, after this process, there was still an evident change in the number of nuclei, correct? Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Your microphone was shut off. I apologize. Please repeat that.
That is correct. There was an increase in the number of nuclei that was about the same number of nuclei as right after the exposure to testosterone. But the size of the muscle at this time had returned to normal. So, in other words, we had sort of relatively thin fibers with a very high density of these cell nuclei compared to untreated muscles.
Is this the same thing as hyperplasia, Dr. Gunderson?
No, it's not at all. I mean, most of what we are talking about when it comes to training effect or steroids effect on muscle, when we talk about building muscle mass, muscle force, is called not hyperplasia, but it's called hypertrophy.
Okay.
And the difference between hyperplasia and hypertrophy is that hyperplasia would mean an increased number of cells. In our case, the number of muscle fibers are the same, and that would be true for most protocols where you build the muscle mass, that the main effect at least is caused by an increase in each cell.
Right.
But it's an interesting question since these cells have multiple nuclei. That's very unusual in the body. It's very few cells that have more than one nuclei. But since muscle cell has more than one nuclei, you have kind of a proliferation of cells. You have stem cells in the muscle called satellite cells. And what happens when you get more nuclei is that these stem cells fuse with the muscle fibers, the pre-existing muscle fibers, and that's the mechanism behind getting more nuclei inside the fibers.
So these changes staying intact for 3 months is significant in the lifespan of a mouse, but we don't know how long before they start to diminish, or is there any evidence that they stay that way for a lifetime?
If I was to guess, I don't have the data to prove that, it would be that I would stay for a lifetime, and in humans that I would also stay for a lifetime. There's a very low, it's not easy to measure, but there's a very low turnover of muscle nuclei. So we are talking at least decades, when we talk about the turnover of nuclei. In principle, as I said, the tissue is permanent, but there is some turnover related to muscle damage. For example, if you walk downhill, you get a little bit of muscle damage. Some fibers get damaged and are repaired. And then, of course, some nuclei will die, and you will substitute those with new nuclei also coming from these stem cells, these satellite cells. But apart from those damages, the nuclei and the cells, the muscle cells, are permanent.
Was there any way to assess if the mice that were getting the testosterone were actually stronger than the mice that were not getting the testosterone? And if so, could that speak to the ability to grow a greater degree of muscle because they were able to move more weight, so to speak?
No, we didn't measure in this study. We didn't measure force, and it was also relatively short training period of only 2 weeks, but in most cases there will be a strong correlation between the size of the muscle fibers, the cross section of the muscle fiber, and how much force the muscle develops. But we didn't measure that in this study.
Adele Musa, who is listening to this show right now from Munster, Germany, just emailed me a link to a rodent squat rack. They strap these little rodents into canvas jackets in the way you would enable the researchers to limit the twisting and flexion of the torso. And then they can actually allow the rodents to squat up and down, putting anywhere from 250 to 300 grams of weight, I guess, on the little board on their back. So there is a way to actually exercise these rodents without, you know, clipping hamstrings or extensor muscles and stuff like that, it looks like. So that'd be interesting for a future study.
Yeah, I've seen some of these papers, and it's certainly something we should look more into. We wanted very dramatic effects in this first paper, and it is a problem to get really dramatic effects with such models. We are also investigating if we could use different type of cages where you kind of force the animal to climb up, for example, to get food and things like that. I think it is it's certainly something we need to look more into, a more physiological exercise model. But in this first study on this particular with this particular design, I think we got a dramatic effect, and that gave us a proof of principle.
The heart is a muscle. When these mice were sacrificed, did you look at any of the visceral organs for any type of changes?
No, we did not do any type of analysis of other organs. No, we're not really interested in the general effects of testosterone, so we didn't do that.
So you pose an interesting question in the press release, and you say, you know, this may play a role in the way organizations having jurisdiction over collegiate and professional sports and intramural sports view someone who has been caught doping, because sometimes they make them sit out a season or so, but it may be that that's not enough.
Well, we had a discussion on the evening TV evening news here in Norway when this paper came out on Monday, and the leader of Anti-Doping Norway, which is sort of the Norwegian branch of WADA, I believe, said that they are now changing the exclusion time from 2 to 4 years. And he said that was partly based on our research, on our previous research on muscle memory, and that had been important in promoting a longer exclusion time. But if I'm right about these biological mechanisms, I think even 4 years might be too short to exclude that there are still beneficial effects of a drug that you took four years ago.
Well, especially if you ban an athlete from football, let's say, and the athlete doesn't lead a completely sedentary life for those 4 years, if he continues to train and act in a way that would actually continue to build muscle, the ban is of no consequence.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't be able to compete for those 4 years, but it's even worse than that, because he probably doesn't need to be continuously active. He could probably detrain for a rather long time, and it would be relatively easy for him to come back to retrain because he has all those nuclei. But we haven't confirmed this memory function in humans yet, but if it is similar in humans as it is in the mice, that would be my guess for
I would have to believe it is. Okay, so we have a lot of individuals in this audience that come from strength sports, and that includes a strongman, powerlifting, and bodybuilding, and we know that drug use is a regular tactic in these types of sports. And we also know that these individuals have the ability to maintain great deals of muscle mass into their later years with very, very little training. They can continue to have great physiques without really training as hard as you would think.
Right.
So that would lead me to believe that those architectural changes in muscle are lifelong.
I think you are right, Carl. I think the reason that there is so much interest in this data is that it fits to what people believe, what people see. And that's not always the case. So sometimes science is not in agreement with folklore, but in this case it seems to be. And I think we have now provided a plausible biological mechanism to explain such such claims. And I think that is interesting, and I think that's the reason you see so much media coverage, etc., and discussions on exercise web pages, etc., about this.
Well, and you also point out that if individuals who start training at a very, very young age, say weightlifting, and maybe they play football or rugby,
right,
and stuff, the acquisition of muscle at a young age, because hormonal milieus are so great in promoting muscle gains, that those may actually influence the ability to maintain that muscle later on in life as well.
That is possible. It has been investigated, compared 20-year-old humans with 70-year-old humans in their ability to acquire these myonuclei, these muscle nuclei, or to get these nuclei into the fibers. And it's much harder when you are 70 than when you are 20. And they even have a molecular explanation for this. It's thought to be related to something called Notch signaling, which is then a signaling system, cellular signaling system.
What is the signaling system called again?
It's called Notch.
Okay. Okay.
N-O-T-C-H. Yeah.
Okay.
And at least there's a theory for that, which is related to how you regulate these satellite cells and get these nuclei into the muscle fibers. So I mean, you know that both in the United States and in Europe, that we have an increased average age. We have an aging population, and frailty in the elderly is a major problem.
Yes.
So I think that we should not only talk about doping here. I think this is gives you sort of an argument, perhaps, for
yes,
for exercise when you are young, and you might benefit from that later in life, even if you are not active through, even if you are not exercising that much throughout life. If you have sort of made a foundation when you are young, if you have gotten these nuclei, maybe you could benefit from that later and avoid this frailty that is so bad for many old.
Well, and let's do this. We have to take a break, but that's exactly what I want to talk about when we come back. So I want to talk about what the real therapeutic implications are of this for the aging population. This is really, really going to get interesting now. We're talking with Dr. Christian Gunderson. We're talking about how muscular changes occur in the presence of high levels of testosterone and what this could actually mean when we come back to an aging population. Stay tuned. We will return.
He's Carl Lenore.
The brainless people at the FDA need to be convinced that arsenic is not good for humans to consume, because the FDA feels a little bit more research needs to be done before we're considered that this particular arsenic is dangerous.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Livon Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com.
BioAge.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Hello, boys and girls.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Don't forget, later in the show, we're going to talk about correcting mitochondrial dysfunction with Dr. Michael Gonzalez. And this really picks up from the discussion that we had yesterday with Dr. Thomas Seyfried about cancer being a metabolic disorder. Very, very interesting discussion. Right now we're talking with Dr. Christian Gunderson. So, Dr. Gunderson, when we're going into the break, you intuitively took me where I wanted to go, and that was the discussion about the elderly. So we know that osteopenia, the loss of muscle, can actually promote sarcopenia. Yes, thank you. Can actually promote a wide variety of metabolic disorders, and elderly people, even if they want to gain or maintain muscle, have a hard time because they're at that stage of life where growth factors and hormonal milieus are not promoting the acquisition of new muscle. So they could benefit from a single bout of testosterone, perhaps, or even two or three, to kind of feed the fire, so to speak.
We haven't investigated that or anything similar to that. I would rather say that if you think about, I think there are many reasons that muscles get weaker when you get old. It's probably a very complex process involving several systems in decline. What I think our data suggests is that a training boot or testosterone, although I will not recommend that because of side effects, could change the architecture of yourself in such a way that you could benefit from that when you're older, because you would have a larger synthetic capacity for muscle protein. The turnover of muscle protein increases with age, and so you might need a stronger or a more powerful synthetic machinery, and the higher number of nuclei might help you with that. So that would be my kind of model. In the previous paper, in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, we propose a model that there are kind of two routes to increase muscle mass. There is the first training model, that is the first time you get strong, for example, then you need to add these nuclei. But once they are in there, you can skip that step, and the nuclei will be sort of dormant in the fiber, and by then exercising you could activate them, and it's possible then that you might not have to exercise as hard as you would need if you have fewer nuclei. But this is all speculation. We really don't know that much about it in humans yet, but I think we have found a very interesting biological mechanisms with this paper and some of the preceding papers.
Well, I think there are some good papers out there. I want to say Dr. Bashin had done a study in older men. I want to say 65 years old to 75 years old, where they gave them 600 milligrams of testosterone cypionate a week, mm-hmm, for 6 weeks. And they observed no adverse side effects, No elevation in blood pressure, no elevation in PSAs, no changes in lipids, and all of these things that we know long-term abuse of these types of testosterone esters can present. But at the same time, a reduction in body fat, an increase in lean body mass, a greater sense of well-being and energy, and a variety of positive effects. And I don't know how it is in Europe, but in the United States, hormone replacement therapy is kind of the new mantra for those of us baby boomers who are trying to maintain some level of youthfulness as we age. I've been on testosterone since 2007, and so for those of us who are in a country where HRT is not frowned upon, but is becoming more and more accessible. And I don't think you have to do what Basheen did with 600 milligrams. I think 125, 150, 175 milligrams a week, which is a traditional therapeutic dose in an older individual, may benefit them. And plus exercise. I'm not saying just do that. But then go ahead and exercise and reap the real benefits of exercise.
Well, I don't really, it's not really my field of expertise to how to treat older individuals with testosterone. I guess there is a balance between sort of a moralism that all kinds of drug treatment are or tampering with nature is wrong on one side, and then being careful in tampering with nature. There has been negative effects, for example, of hormone treatment of females during menopause. So I think one have to be a little bit careful, and if you expose the whole population to this kind of treatment, there might be unsuspected effects, but I don't want to be moralistic about it. I think the effects we have seen and the effects our current research is about is the new thing here is the long lasting effects. So I would rather say that if you want to do something new as a consequence of our findings, it would be that you should do the treatment or the exercise earlier in life, because it's harder. It's hard to get these nuclei into play in older individuals. But then, of course, testosterone has many other effects than just to increase the number of nuclei. It probably involves increasing the synthetic capacity for each nucleus, for example.
Right.
So it's complex. But I don't want to have any strong opinions on hormone treatment of the whole population. I think that is a very complicated issue.
So what would you like clinicians to take away from your research? If you were speaking to clinicians and doctors out there.
I think there are some, I'm not sure we are there yet that you could give some advice to the general practitioners on the corner yet, because this is basic research, and I think that has to go through some more research on humans and clinical testing. But I think that if there should be one consequence, maybe it should be to promote some strength training in the younger part of the population, and in the hope that they will benefit from that later in life and throughout life. So that would be my kind of consequence of this, if there should be a consequence at this stage. I mean, I think one shouldn't be too quick in going from the laboratory mouse to the doctor on the corner.
Right. No, I can appreciate that. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you about that. You have a book that is coming out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask you about the book that you have being published here. We're talking with Dr. Christian Gunderson. We're going to change the subject a little bit and get a little deeper into what Dr. Gunderson does more so than teach mice how to build muscle. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's your personal watchdog.
Is anyone awake up at Capitol Hill?
Sniffing out the corruption in our healthcare policies.
You are literally selling the population of this wonderful country to a death sentence.
He's Carl Lenore.
What's wrong with you people?
On the Superhuman Radio Network.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl and Elisa won't brush with anything else. Now get a free bottle of Aura MD and see what all the excitement's about. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Aura MD banner ad today. You cover shipping and we'll give you a free bottle for first-time customers only. What are you waiting for? The best toothpaste alternative is just a click away. Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to the BlueprintBulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat?
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Christian Gunderson. So, Dr. Gunderson, you have a book that's being published. Did you say it's in February or sooner?
No, it already came out.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just before the summer. And it's unfortunately it's only in Norwegian yet. But I understand you have listeners all over the world.
Yes.
And I am a neuromuscular scientist, but my hobby has been to scientifically go over some of the suggestions that comes from alternative medicine. And I don't know what your sort of standpoint is there or the standpoint of your radio station, but there is a lot of bullshit out there, and I think one needs sort of a scientific cleansing of this field to one have to be critical. There are so many suggestions.
Well, okay, so give me
so
a,
that's what the book is about.
Give me a top line, the top three alternative medicine techniques out there that are just nonsense that right come to your top of your head that everybody seems to know.
Well, homeopathy obviously is clearly.
I've never believed in homeopathy. You know what? Let me tell you something about homeopathic medicine, especially, right? So homeopathic medicine does not contain any of the ingredients that they claim to. What they do is they put the bottle of water next to the ingredient and they say that it is infused somehow with the vibrations of the ingredient. Well, if that was the case, when I stood outside the liquor store, I would get drunk. I mean,
I couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Carl. I think it's really a very strange theory, theoretically. And then when one have, but one have taken it seriously in science and really tested if it could work. I mean, it could be something we didn't know about, but it turns out it doesn't work.
Okay, what's number two?
That's great. Well, I mean, I think none of the so-called alternative methods really work. I mean, once they, if they get proven, they become regular medicine, right? But there are very few examples of that. I don't think since we got the concept of alternative medicine, I'm not aware of any example of a good idea coming from them and then being scientifically confirmed. I guess if you take what there's a little bit in this acupuncture, but even there.
Yeah, and I don't buy that. I don't buy that either. You know why I don't buy that, Dr. Gunderson? Because look, you and I could be, homozygotic twins and our nerves are not going to run in the same exact areas of our body. There's somebody who's going to hit it with a needle and stimulate it. I mean, this nonsense that you can hit a nerve that runs through someone's back. Like everyone has the nerve in the same exact spot. That's nonsense.
I mean, yeah, but it's not even the nerve, you know. It's these non-existing equatorial lines, etc. I mean, they have found no structure that corresponds to the acupuncture point. So that is even worse than trying to hit the nerve. But you are preaching to the choir, Carl. I couldn't agree more. But I'm happy to hear that you agree that there is a lot of nonsense out there. But if I had to pick one that is sort of a little bit less nonsense, it would have to be acupuncture. But even if you go over that, it's very little in it. There is probably, and there is a neurophysiological explanation for that, a weak, energetic effect, an anti-pain effect, related to sort of having two sensory inputs competing. It's like blowing on a wound or something.
Well, you know what I always say, the best way to get your hand to stop hurting, hurt your foot. and then your attention shifts to your foot and you forget that your hand hurts.
That's how topical
pain medications, you know, they have camphor and wintergreen. You put them on and they burn your skin and you don't feel the pain because now your attention is on your skin burning.
Exactly. So that I think is what acupuncture is, the small effect that there are. And even if there are some allergic effect, it has been heavily debated in big controlled studies whether that is clinically relevant. So probably most of the effect is just placebo, even for acupuncture. And that's the best example I can come up with. I think all the others are even worse, unfortunately.
Well, okay, so now let's talk about one that I don't know that, I'm not sure what starts out in the realm of naturopathic medicine, but I do know that there is a lot of science and scientists that are doing a lot of work in this area of cancer, and we've been doing a lot of shows on this recently, cancer being more of a metabolic disease in nature, and that there are nutritional protocols, more specifically ketogenic diets, that are accepted by allopathic medicine as treating seizure and epilepsy. They now understand they can also be useful in the treatment of cancer because cancer cells uniquely, because of anaerobic glycolysis, cannot survive without either adequate amounts of glucose or glutamine, and glucose being the really important one. And when you shift the body to running on ketones, the entire body can run well, but the cancer cells die.
Well, this is certainly I didn't focus so much on nutritional effect, but even there, I think there are very many examples of claims that are not scientifically based. We had a big debate in Norway. We have a huge cancer hospital, one of the sort of biggest cancer hospitals in the world. It was centralized at the time. And there was this doctor called Dr. Nitter that had his cure that actually involved steroids as well. And then he had ideas about nutrition and they just went over his material and there was nothing there. But I think there are many examples of claims that are not scientifically on a scientifically fitting. But I'm certainly not an expert on nutritional effects on cancer cells. So I don't want to.
No. I know. And there is, and as you can see, I tend to use critical thinking. Even when science disagrees with what I know to be true, I abandon science because science has been wrong time and time again. And so the way I feel
The alternative is even more wrong. I mean, if you are non-scientific, you are wrong more often than if you are scientific, I think.
No, I understand that. But the point I'm trying to make here is that there is a lot of good research on ketogenic diets. We've been doing some shows on them from very valid universities, Boston University, Harvard University, that are working on these things, and they're showing promise. But at the same time, I understand what you're saying. There becomes a slippery slope, where voodoo science kind of gets pulled into real world medicine. As you point out, homeopathic medicine is laughable to me. Based on homeopathic medicine, I can put my 14 karat gold ring next to a bottle of water, and I should sell it for whatever the weight in gold goes for, because it should infuse the gold molecules into the water, and it should be gold now. And so it's, laughable. That's laughable to me.
Yeah, or even I have an example in my book. If you take a bottle of whiskey and pour it into the Atlantic is now separating us.
Yeah.
And if you do that and mix the whole Atlantic and take out a liter or a quart, you would say, of seawater, you could drink that against a hangover. And there will be, I've calculated that in that liter of seawater, there would be one molecule of whiskey left.
Right.
And that is a very low dilution. You know that they dilute their compounds a lot, and that's a very low dilution in homeopathic medicine. And you are right, there are no molecules left, and there are all kinds of ideas about vibrations and memory in water, not memory in muscle, but memory in water.
Right.
And there is no scientific basis for it, either theoretically or empirically. But I'm very glad to hear that we are in line when it comes to evidence-based medicine.
What's the name of your book?
It's named after this guy in Norway from a place called Snåsa. So it's called the Snåsa Code. It's not the Da Vinci Code. It's the Snåsa Code. And this guy claims that he had cured 50,000 people just by putting his hands on them. But I have my doubts. He can also read cards, you know, with the backside up and things like that. But he has refused. I've offered him money to his favorite charity if he can do that under controlled conditions. But it never seems to happen somehow.
And where can people get this book?
Well, they can buy it on the internet, but it's in Norwegian so far, and in bookstores in Norway.
Okay, listen, I want to thank you for taking time to come on the show today. It's been a very interesting discussion.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Carl.
Take care. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. And really, this discussion today is really you can even think of it as part B from the discussion yesterday. And the reason for that is when we had Dr. Thomas Seyfried on the show, he talked about the actual changes that happen in the cell that then make the cell promote anaerobic glycolysis, is that the mitochondria becomes dysfunctional. The mitochondria becomes broken. And this is the single change that occurs, at least it appears to be the first change that occurs, that then makes a cell turn into a cancer cell. And if this is in fact correct, then we need to understand what we can do to keep our mitochondria as healthy as possible. And if your mitochondria are not healthy, what can you do to make them healthy? And that is going to be the discussion we're going to have when I come back with Dr. Michael Gonzalez. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. Well, he's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas, it's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really
that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you, then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things that I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramail RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre-, intra-, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on SuperhumanRadio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. Age Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back. Okay, so as I said before, yesterday we had Dr. Thomas Seyfried on the show, and we talked about thinking of cancer as a metabolic disease, and Dr. Seyfried promoted this idea that the mitochondria of the cell goes through a change that promotes anaerobic glycolysis, and this is the beginning of the end for that cell. So if you're like me, you're thinking, okay, what can I do to keep my mitochondria healthy? What can I do to reverse unhealthy mitochondria? And what other disease states are related to this mitochondrial dysfunction? So we're being joined right now by Dr. Michael Gonzalez. How you doing, Dr. Gonzalez?
Good, good. Honored to be with you in the program.
Fantastic. And this is really an intriguing discussion. My assistant, Ginny Robard, said that she heard you speak, I want to say, in Washington State or Colorado. You just did the functional medicine symposium, didn't you?
Well, it was in Oregon.
Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was an international congress on functional medicine and human nutrition.
There you go. So let's start off with where we left off yesterday with Dr. Seyfried for a second. So are you in agreement with this notion that it is the mitochondria that becomes dysfunctional, and this is what leads to the development of the cell becoming what we consider a cancer cell?
I'm totally in agreement with Dr. Seyfried. Actually, our experience is that we have seen that in different types of cancer, prostate, colon, breast cancer, lung cancer. And the thing here is that we came of an idea which we call metabolic correction, but it's really a some people call it mitochondrial rescue. And although we don't have all the, you know, all the research details on it, but we have some preliminary studies that point out that we have identified certain molecules that may be able to do this, to restore the mitochondrial function if we give them in the proper dosing and, you know, at the proper time.
Okay, wait.
So,
I want to ask you a question before we go there.
Sure.
What are the molecules, or what is the phenomenon that's occurring that's causing the mitochondria to go bad in the first place? Is it the lack of oxygen? Is it substrate utilization? Or is it something else like inflammation or toxins or something like that?
You know, our impression is that there's a physiological rearrangement. But in the first place, we think that it's mainly toxins that do the first damage. And it could be toxins from the environment, it could be toxins produced by the own body for free radicals, you know, but things that we eat that we should not eat, like oxidized fats, refined carbohydrates, refined fats, all that sort of thing. But we think that the main damage, the first damage done to the mitochondrial membrane, to be exactly, it's done by toxins.
Okay, here's a good question for you, I think. So I read a really, really good book on reversing or treating heart failure, right? One of the studies I read was on alcohol consumption. And what I learned about alcohol consumption and the way it affects the heart is the mitochondria has these things like tentacles, and they attach to other things inside the cell. And alcohol causes these tentacles, if you will, certain ones, to shorten and bring calcium right into the mitochondria, which causes the mitochondria to become dysfunctional. And this is where the negative effects on the heart from alcohol consumption occur. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
To a certain extent, well, what we have seen also is that, you know, alcohol is some sort of irritant to the membrane. So it changes the electricity of the membrane, and in that sense, once you change the electricity of the membrane, you change the mitochondrial function. So it's really everything. We have seen that mitochondria try to every disease. To a certain extent, mitochondria can be tied to every disease, but we have seen a kind of like direct action, especially in cancer.
Okay.
So, but definitely, mitochondria is a very sensitive organelle, and it's very sensitive to any type of damage. And the first damage is damage to the membrane. So, you know, that's the first issue, that if you change the electricity of the membrane, you're going to change its function. So you're not going to have electrons going the way they should, and that's going to... When the mitochondria understands that it's in trouble, sometimes it pushes itself to apoptosis, because it says, I'm going to be damaged, so I'm going to go into apoptosis. But before that, you know, sometimes the damage does not permit the mitochondria to identify it's in trouble. So what it does, it kind of shuts down, and like in cancer cells, what you have going for energy is glycolysis. That's why glucose, sure, it's one of the main foods of the cancer cell, because it just you know, you don't have to go to oxidative phosphorylation to produce the energy necessary in order to have differentiation. So the cell says, I don't have that much energy, I'm going to use this energy to survive. And then you lose communication between cells, and you start losing the production of these products from the mitochondria we believe that in certain sense, they may induce differentiation and may induce, you know, the energy necessary for further complexity, like formation of neurotransmitters, formation of immune cells and immune components. All these things are secondary to survival. So you need a lot of energy for these things. And if you don't have the capacity to produce that much energy, it's just the cell is going to try to survive. So we think cancer is a survival mechanism,
right,
of the body. But you lose differentiation, you lose communication, so you lose your entity as a whole complex multicellular organism. So it becomes like a primitive embryonic cell. It's division without differentiation.
That's the actual kind of cellular proliferation that took us from the primordial ooze onto bigger and better things. But it's happening. It's happening inside our bodies instead of out there.
That's what we explain in our paper called the Bioenergetic Theory of Carcinogenesis. Actually, when I started writing this, I have never seen the I have heard about Thomas Seyfried, but I never read his papers in detail. When I started writing this, I read the paper, and it was the same idea. Thomas and me came to the same conclusion from different ways, you know, from different avenues. So when you have people thinking the same way from coming from different avenues, it's probably because you have something important there.
No, absolutely, absolutely. We also did a show a while back, and I'm trying to find it right now. It's a shame I don't remember any of my own shows after a while. I've been doing them for so long. But it was with Professor Paul Davies. Do you know him? The Evolutionary Roots of Cancer?
I have heard the name, but I'm not too aware.
He talks about this, that's exactly, you know, and when you look at things from the evolutionary perspective, you realize the body is perfect and it does everything for a reason. Now, some of those things that it does, we may not like, but it does them anyway because it's designed to survive. And cancer actually is almost like a neonatal gene sets flipping on in a primitive survival mode and growing as quickly as possible to overcome some sort of a disorder.
Oh, yes. We think that these oncogenes are embryonic genes. It's the genes that we need. Originally, when you have the fecundation, when the sperm meets the ovum, what happens is basically that you have these certain divisions at early stage, this glomerular, blastula, graftula, and all that stuff, that early division. It's a lot of division without differentiation. When mitochondria starts kicking in, it's that you have differentiation. And that's very interesting because then, you know, everybody thinks of sometimes of cancer as a genetic disease. We think also genetic derangements come after the mitochondrial damage.
Right.
We think that the mitochondria, it's what really controls differentiation. But that's our new idea in terms of science. If that's true, we have to change all these cancer books that have been written after that.
And in fact, Dr. Seyfried pointed out yesterday, and I'm saying this only because I don't want to appear like I knew this before he said it, but he said that when you look at, from the genetic standpoint, when you look at things that affect the nucleus and affect the mitochondria, you'll find cancer occurring in events that do not affect the nucleus but only affect the mitochondria, and you'll find no cancer occurring in genetic mutations of the nucleus by itself when the mitochondria is left alone, which points
that's
to the fact that you can't,
you can't
have cancer without the mitochondria's participation.
Yes, that's a very strong argument. And let me tell you, before anything gets into the nucleus, it has to pass the cell membrane. It has to pass membranes that are before the nucleus, and the nucleus has a double membrane. So all those membranes before it gets to the DNA have to be, you know, affected. And the mitochondria is going to be in between. It's going to be more susceptible to damage, you know. So it's going to be right there, and it's very susceptible to damage. That mitochondrial electricity of the membrane, it has a name. I forgot it right now. But this, you know, it's very susceptible to any type of change, any changes, and even in different ions and that sort of thing could affect the mitochondrial function. So it's something that we have to take care of, you know, of the mitochondria. We have to. And there have been many things that we have seen that help the mitochondria. Even calorie restriction that you know that increases longevity.
Intermittent fasting.
And intermittent fasting, calorie restriction, and then food that's high in nutrients, low in calories, but high in fiber, high in different nutrients. So that's a way to protect the mitochondria, basically, in terms of and try to prevent, you know. Toxins, pesticides, different things.
Let's do this. Let's take a break, okay?
Sure.
We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about these different modalities that we can use to benefit us when the mitochondria has gone haywire. We're talking right now with Dr. Michael Gonzalez. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Throw away those muscle-building rag mags and listen to real health information you can trust.
So right now what's trending is like resistance exercise, CrossFit. So he's like, well, I'm going to write an article that will make all of those people go, what? There are people out there who are trying to convince themselves that heavy resistance training is not good for you. They want to be substantiated by why they don't go into the gym and do any kind of work. In order for you to get rhabdomyolysis, you have to be an extremely well-trained athlete who pushes your body beyond the point of no return. And even then, you may not get rhabdo.
Only on Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
They couldn't get rhabdo if I said, get rhabdo and I'll give you $1 million.
Get a free jug of BCAA Extended Performance. That's a $26 freebie when you buy Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Intense, the safest, most effective pre-workout alternative to DMAA. Intense is designed to quickly boost focused energy in a great-tasting formula free of aspartame or ACE-K. Only half the caffeine of top-selling concentrated pre-workout formulas on the market. Intense delivers unparalleled mental focus and energy to power your workouts. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Intense banner ad and use coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. 4936 wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Extreme Formulations is the only company with a dairy protein product with a disclosed 50% whey to 50% micellar casein ratio. It's Ultra Peptide 2.0. It comes in 9 amazing flavors, including the newest lemon pie and butterscotch. Get free shipping on any order size inside the USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ultra Peptide 2.0 banner ad now. Canadian listeners can also get free shipping on 2 or more jugs of Ultra Peptide 2.0. Don't wait too long because this special won't last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. I don't know if you, the listeners out there, heard another show playing when I was going to break, but I, in order to find an old show of mine, I can't even find things on my own website. I got to go to Google, and when I Googled something, it started playing a commercial. I was like, oh man, what is that sound coming from? Anyway, we're talking right now with Dr. Michael Gonzalez, and we're talking about mitochondrial function. And let's talk about something else for a second. And I know there's a lot of research, emerging research in cancer, nutritional therapies, and mitochondrial function. What are the diseases that are very, very common in today's landscape can be linked back to either a first-line action of mitochondrial dysfunction or maybe a worsening due to mitochondrial dysfunction?
You know, there are many diseases related to mitochondrial function that we have been figuring out lately, diabetes being one, Alzheimer's. I mean, you mentioned it, and it has a mitochondrial component. I mean, there have been specific mitochondrial diseases related to problems with muscle function. But those are identified specific changes in mitochondrial function. But you see that it depends how much damage the mitochondria has done, and then you could kind of predict certain diseases that may follow up once you have the damage to the mitochondria. But there are all chronic degenerative diseases, as you mentioned, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, all those diseases have been tied to certain, even autism, all have been tied to a certain extent to the mitochondria.
Okay, so with that,
that's what I tell you that I'm sorry. Let me tell you one more thing.
Yes.
The important thing here is that the membrane potential of the mitochondria, once it is affected, something is going to happen at the physiological level. So that's why we have to kind of take care of the mitochondrial potential and try to maintain it as it is, so it could, you know, produce the necessary energy in order to control all these physiological pathways.
Aubrey de Grey, who's been a guest on my show in the past, he was really the one who first postulated this whole mitochondrial theory of aging, that as mitochondrial biogenesis starts to fade, new cells stop being made, and the body starts to wither and degrade. Hey, that rhymes, by the way. And so we understand the importance of the mitochondria. So a couple good questions I'm hoping that you can answer for me. Does the mitochondria have a shelf life? In other words, we know that different cells turn over at different rates. Some as little as 6 months, some as 7 years in bone. Do the mitochondria have a shelf life that we know of?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't have an answer. I guess that the more you take care of it, you know, the chances are that it will last longer. But you know that there's some studies done by Dr. Bruce Ames.
Yeah, I know him. He's been on my show.
Restored mitochondrial function. Yeah. I think he observed certain mitochondrial biogenesis, but basically they was the same mitochondria just being renewed.
Oh.
So I think there's a chance of mitochondria to kind of extend whatever, as you mentioned, shelf life it may have if we take the proper care of it. I think it happens to all cells, you know.
Okay. So with that being said, and the reason I want to quantify this, because then we're going to talk about strategies for improving mitochondrial function. But let's say I've led a really bad life for a long time. Let's say I spray pesticide for a living. I smoke cigarettes. I drink alcohol. I eat too much, and I don't sleep enough. And so I've come to a point in my life where I'm like, I want to get my life in shape. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do, and I'm taking a lot of the necessary steps. Is there a feel for how long it will take for a bad, sick mitochondria to come back well, or can it be? Is there a point of no return for the mitochondria?
I think you're correct in all your assessments. I think there is a chance. I think there is a point of no return. But, you know, let me tell you one thing. Even getting to what you mentioned as a point of no return of the mitochondria, I still think that you could take the mitochondria to a road. To choose between two roads. One, if you have a chance, you could try to restore a mitochondria, and in that sense, if you can restore it, it's fine. You may even have a redifferentiation, and you may have a reconversion of the cancer cell to a normal cell. I think that's possible if you restore mitochondrial function. But there's going to be some times that you're going to have that point of no return. So what's going to happen there? We could try to restore the membrane potential enough so the mitochondria understand that it is in trouble and it's not going to be working well. So it's going to push itself to apoptosis,
which is right.
Good, because it's going to kill the cancer cell anyway. So you have two avenues that the mitochondria could go with this sort of mitochondrial correction. You could push it back to a normal mitochondria or have a mitochondrial restoration, a mitochondrial rescue, a mitochondrial correction, or you could push it to apoptosis, which is going to be a benefit because the mitochondria is not working well anyway. So, you know, in that sense, we have two chances to improve whatever that malignant cell, the stage of that malignant cell. So I think it's a possibility, and we don't have details on it. I don't think nobody has. We have some preliminary results in the lab, but, you know, one thing is in vitro, another thing is in vivo, but we think it's gonna work. We have, because these things are not toxic, we have used it in cancer patients and we have had certain success. So we think that this is going to be almost even part of cancer therapy very soon. Dr. Seifert is promoting the ketogenic diet.
Yes.
Because of the non-utilization of sugars, which is what makes tumors grow mostly.
Right.
So I think it's
and tumors can't live on ketones, but the rest of the body can. So you're basically singling them out and getting rid of them.
And then they kind of thrive on glucose and sugar. So I think that's one of the issues that Dr. Seifert brings, and I think it's important. What we have done, we basically have used some sort of more forward vegetarian diet, but in decreasing simple carbohydrates, refined carbohydrates to the minimum or to nothing. And we have used also a diet, you know, that we use fish and like fatty fish, like mackerel, salmon, wild caught, and we use a lot of nuts. So it's kind of like a vegetarian ketogenic diet.
Well,
so
let's talk about one of the things we are starting to understand about the ketogenic diet is that it's, number one, it's neuroprotective, and number two, it may actually flip some of the same switches that calorie restriction does in the area of sirtuin production and telomerase production. So it would stand to reason that if the ketogenic diet may be beneficial in a state of desired mitochondrial rescue, if you will.
Well, let me tell you, it's kind of, if you look at it, it's even pretty similar to what it's called the paleo diet to a certain extent. Because in the paleo diet, you had intermittent fasting,
right,
a forced intermittent fasting. And then you have a diet that was not necessarily low in fat, but it was very low absent in refined carbohydrates.
Right.
So it's very similar to a ketogenic diet. So maybe Lauren Cordain is not far away from the truth.
No, I agree. What about supplements like pyroloquinolone or CoQ10 or even vitamin C and glutathione? They have now glutathione supplements and so on. What about these? Do they benefit process?
I think it does, and I think it does in a pretty good way. But, you know, you need the lifestyle changes. You need the exercise. You need the changes in macronutrients. You need to decrease definitely those simple sugars and increase vegetables and increase good fats and that sort of thing. But in terms of supplements, we have done a mixture that we have seen changes at membrane potential and even at production of ATP using alpha-lipoic acid, using acetyl-L-carnitine, using vitamin C, using different phospholipids, a combination of non-oxidated phospholipids. And that's a very important thing, because we have some people want to change their fats to omega-3s, which is great, and omega-9s, which is great, but these have to be non-oxidated.
Right.
Because if they're oxidate, they're not going to help us.
Right. So they're rancid. They become rancid.
The mitochondria has to be non-oxidative.
Right.
And they're not easy to get. It's not that easy to get because they have to be
refrigerated. You know, every step of the way, they have to be refrigerated. If you're buying omega-3 products, fish oil and so on, and it's sitting on a shelf someplace, there's a high probability that it's undergoing some changes that are not beneficial to the oil.
Yeah. Well, one of the main things is that it has to be molecularly distilled in order not to have these pesticides, not to have these heavy metals. And then they have to add natural antioxidants like mixed tocopherols and that sort of thing in order to protect it a little bit. And we think that if you're going to use omega-3s, we use omega-3s, but we try to use these that are protected, that are molecularly distilled and that sort of thing. So this combination of phospholipids, omega-3, omega-9, CoQ10, vitamin C, acetyl-L-carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid. We call them the mitochondrial enhancers.
You know,
we have seen some preliminary indications that it does restore mitochondrial function to a certain extent. But also, we're not the only ones. Dr. Bouzains have shown it using basically alpha-lipoic acid and acetyl-L-carnitine. We have added other things because we think it enhances. Also, B-complex is very important in all these things.
For the methylation pathway, for detoxification.
And magnesium.
Yes. What about intermittent fasting and even every other day fasting or longer duration fasts? They tend to stimulate the autophagy process. Does autophagy enable the mitochondria to repair itself by getting rid of metabolic debris inside the cell?
I think it does. I think it does to a certain extent. That's one of the proposed mechanisms of how it really helps. The other is that it produces an environment which is pretty similar to the ketogenic environment, mm-hmm. where you're using fats to sustain yourself. You're not using carbohydrates. So that's not, it's not a fuel for the cancer cells. It's a fuel for the normal cells. So.
Right. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll pick it up. I've got lots more questions. We're talking right now with Dr. Michael Gonzalez. We're talking about rescuing your mitochondria, something that you can do, you can start doing now. We know, we talk about this stuff on the show all the time, the types of supplements that you should be taking. We have Live On Labs produces liposomal vitamin C, liposomal glutathione, liposomal R-alpha lipoic acid, and a liposomal B-complex. It's everything you need right there. We talked about taking one of those every single day is almost like getting a Myers cocktail every single day. So, you know, these are things that help. And obviously exercise. And I'm talking about intense exercise. I'm not talking about doing housework and saying that's intense exercise. Intense exercise increases mitochondrial biogenesis. We know that. And that's got to be the first line of defense. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's exposing the man behind the curtain in the organic discussion.
Whole Foods is getting prepared for this onslaught of new customers by finding ways to fool them into buying things that aren't organic, thinking that they are, which is the way they led into the industry. Back in the day when people remember Whole Foods, there were people that were going in there and going, oh, well, this is all organic. I bought it at Whole Foods. And, oh, no. They do sell conventional stuff there. They do? Yeah.
Exposing the myths in our grocery stores.
And then Whole Foods started labeling it more clearly what was organic and what was conventional. But there was a whole period of time where people were buying what they thought was organic when it wasn't. And they were charging more. Whole Foods prices was a conventionally grown produce, similar price to what other stores were selling organic, and that made it even more confusing for the consumer. They thought, well, how can it be? I just paid $3.45 for a pound of apples. That's what that store sells organic. You're telling me I bought conventional apples? Yep, you did.
Carl Lenore on Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to superhumanradio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Michael Gonzalez. We're talking about rescuing your mitochondria, increasing mitochondria biogenesis, reversing mitochondria that are going in the wrong direction, and how this can affect a variety of diseases today. And quite frankly, according to Aubrey de Grey, can actually extend life, because Aubrey de Grey was hailed as a genius when he postulated the mitochondrial theory of aging. And his position is that it is the mitochondria that start to fail and aren't replaced by healthy mitochondria that beckons aging, that starts the whole downfall of complete physical systems failing. And if he's right, then and that's one of the hallmarks of aging, then anything you can do to keep your mitochondria functioning, firing, growing bigger. In fact, the research on PQQ combined with exercise showed that mitochondria biogenesis, mitochondria will produce larger. Think of a souped up engine versus a little engine in a Volkswagen. Mitochondria will produce larger when exercise and PQQ were taken together. So anything you can do to improve the quality and quantity of your mitochondria is going to pay you back in spades. Okay, so Dr. Gonzalez, is there a way to give people a simple prescription? These are the salient tasks that must be addressed in order to improve mitochondria function, rescue mitochondria, and keep healthy mitochondria healthy.
You know, that's a great question, and we don't have the sex dosage on, you know, people will need. But, you know, we have an idea, like, for example, we think that you at least need 100 milligrams of CoQ10. We're starting to look at the molecule that you mentioned, PQQ, that seems to really enhance the effect of coenzyme Q10 in the mitochondria. We're looking at a herb called rhodiola, which also seems to enhance this function. Alpha-lipoic acid is very important, acetyl-L-carnitine. There's other forms of carnitine that seem to all have another type of action in terms of enhancing even more the production of energy in the mitochondria. There's still a lot of questions, but at least we think that, I'll tell you what I take. I take at least 100 milligrams of CoQ10. I take 20 milligrams of PQQ. I take about 500 milligrams of acetyl L-carnitine. I take about 300 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid. I take vitamin C about a gram three times a day. I take a high-potency multivitamin and mineral with an OB complex, magnesium in it. And I take omega-3s at least a gram. And that's basically what I take. I'm not saying that this is the ultimate dosage, but that's what I take. It's going to be difficult to really determine exact dosages. We have done some studies in vitro, but, you know, in vitro it's another story.
Right.
But it could give you an idea of, you know, more or less what to use. But at least our patients, cancer patients, take 100 milligrams of CoQ10 three times a day. And we haven't been using the PQQ on them yet because we don't have that much information on it. I use it for myself and for my children in order to enhance, you know, performance when we play basketball, that sort of stuff. And it has worked well for us. But so, you know, the thing with this is that you have to be consequent and you have to be compliant and taking this, because you have to build levels of these nutrients in order to make them get to the mitochondria and make them function better. So it's going to take a while.
That was my next question. So if somebody is not doing well, and they start on a regimen and they say, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to take these supplements. I'm going to start exercising. What's a realistic time frame? Or does it depend on the severity of how dysfunctional they are? Could it take a year? Could it take 6 months?
You know, it's really unpredictable. And you see some people that are in really bad shape, and they respond in 15 days. And then you see people that are in better shape, it would take them a month to respond. But our, you know, I would say between 15 days and 3 months, you kind of have an idea what's going to go on. Because at least in 3 months, if you don't feel better, it's not working for you. You may have an absorption problem. You may have other sorts of problems that these nutrients are not getting where they're supposed to get. So, you know, in that time between 2 weeks and 3 months, it's basically that you would see changes, that you will feel some changes. Actually, after treatment.
Michael, are you there? Michael, are you there? We're going to play a little music here. Sit tight, because I want to get him back on the phone. Hold on a second. Michael, are you there?
This ain't nothing but a summer jam. Bronze skin and cinnamon tans will roll. This ain't nothing but a summer jam. We're gonna party as much as we can.
All right, we got him back. We should mention that we're talking to Dr. Gonzalez from San Juan, Puerto Rico. And so, obviously, a drop line here and there is possible. You were saying something right before you got cut off when we were talking about people having to be realistic about how long it takes for these levels to build up.
Yes, well, I was telling you that some people respond in as short as 2 weeks, and some people take 3 months to a year. So it really depends. But mostly you will see changes between 2 weeks and 3 months, and if you don't see changes there, you may have an absorption problem or some other type of physiological problem that the nutrients are not getting where they're supposed to get. So that's something you know, you have to have in mind. But you have to build levels in order to really attain all these benefits that you could have of these supplements. And then you have, as you mentioned, make the lifestyle change, necessary lifestyle changes in terms of exercise. I mean, you know, exercise that would increase a lot your heartbeat, that sort of, not simple, as you say, not simple exercise. Not
yeah. You see people on the leg press machine and they're reading a magazine while they're leg pressing. They're not leg pressing. You know what I mean? If you're reading a magazine while you're leg pressing or talking on the cell phone while you're leg pressing, you're not working hard enough. You need to hang up the phone, put down the magazine, and you need to dig down and you need to like struggle against the weight a little bit.
Yep, definitely. That's the type of exercise that will really enhance mitochondrial function. But you need to do that in a environment free of toxins, not in the streets of Los Angeles and New York. It's not probably a good idea to do that.
No, you're right.
At least to do it in a park or something that has a lot of trees.
A buffer of trees. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so are there any really well-known offenders that cause spontaneous death or mutation to the mitochondria that we find in our environment right now that have been studied?
You know, any, you know, any pharmacological drug
really
to damage to a certain extent the mitochondria. So even simple things as Tylenol and that sort of thing like that, it has certain, it hits the mitochondria a bit. It doesn't completely kills it, but it kind of, you know, strains it for a while.
Well, this is important. So let's talk about this for a second. So one of the things that Dr. Seyfried said yesterday was, it's not, what causes the problem, the conversion to anaerobic glycolysis, is not a complete attack on the mitochondria, but a mild attack over a long period of time. And it's almost like what's happening is there's a hormetic effect. So we know if you take an antibiotic that is underdosed or too short, the virus comes back double strong because you made it stronger. You just made it stronger by not killing it completely. It builds up immunity and it gets stronger. So what happens to the mitochondria, it sounds like to me, from a layman's perspective, from what Dr. Seyfried said, is if you do something that destroys the mitochondria, that's one thing. But if you do something that harms it over a long period of time, it comes back, it mutates, it changes. And this is the change that occurs in order to cause it to go to anaerobic respiration, because it says, uh-oh, I'm in trouble, but I'm not dead yet. So I need to flip some switches to promote my survival. This has been going on for a long time, and if I don't do something soon, I'm going to die. And it give you give it time to respond, so to speak.
Yep. It's a very, as I mentioned to you earlier, it's a very susceptible organelle. So it's affected, you know, it has its own DNA, but it depends on the DNA of the cell. So the communication between the nucleus and the mitochondria, it's a lot, it's very much important that we thought originally. Because we think that to a certain extent, mitochondrial energetics control gene expression. So that's even more, if that's true, we could win a Nobel Prize if we prove that, but...
Right.
But to tell you what, I think it does. You know, I think this energy of the mitochondria has been underestimated, how important it is in terms of differentiation, in terms of malignancy, in terms of all degenerative disease. I think as we understand better this membrane potential and how mitochondria manages or conserves itself, I think we're going to be in better shape to attack all these degenerative chronic diseases. But the first thing, as you mentioned, we have to keep the mitochondria clean, you know, without any of these toxins. And I think that that's the first thing that we have to do. And it's not that easy because we eat a lot of junk food.
A lot of chemicals.
And oxidized materials. Then that's one of the problems.
Well, what about this, right? So this is the question I raised to Dr. Seyfried yesterday. He talked about the process of anaerobic glycolysis. By the mitochondria is forced to work under conditions of less available oxygen. So it slowly shifts over to anaerobic glycolysis, and it takes time. And I said, well, what about preservatives that are in food? The way preservatives work is they resist oxidative stress. So a food has a longer shelf life. And as a result of that, we consume those preservatives. And wouldn't they have the same effect in our body if they're absorbed by cells? They would repel oxygen or the ability of oxygen to do its job.
You know, it's a difficult question to answer, but definitely different preservatives may have a different physiological fate in the body. And most of the time, there are molecules that the body are not used to it. So it doesn't know how to handle them, and they hang around, and sometimes that's where they do the damage. In that hanging around, not knowing what to do and sticking to areas that are not supposed to be there and taking place of important molecules.
I want to take our last commercial break. And when we come back, I got a couple questions for you specifically about Puerto Rico, okay? Because I'm interested to find out if the climate is any different there in the area of medicine. I see that the fellow who authored this paper, Metabolic Correction, with you, Jorge Miranda Massari, he is a doctor of pharmacology, correct?
Yes.
Okay, I want to ask you some questions about how it works there in Puerto Rico. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Michael Gonzalez. It's interesting what we consider a reason to get angry.
He's a military strategist on health.
Merck, the pharmaceutical company, killed 55,000 people with Vioxx. They knew that it had a problem, and they sold it to people anyway, and 55,000-plus people died taking Vioxx.
He's Carl Lenore.
Why isn't this current administration going, we need to go to White House Station, New Jersey, where the Merck headquarters is, and send the military in there? We need to bomb Merck, because they killed 55,000 Americans knowing that they were going to kill 55,000 Americans.
On Superhuman Radio.
Where is the outrage about that?
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. People who want the best whey protein in the world turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from grass pasture-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. Just pure grass pasture-fed whey in all its natural glory. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
RedyNowSexualPerformance.com. Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. AgeForce introduces the RedyNow Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the RedyNow Patch. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com and click the RedyNow banner ad and save 50% off your first order.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable. But finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Hello?
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Michael Gonzalez. Dr. Gonzalez, Puerto Rico is an unincorporated territory of the United States, but I don't think we have a lot of, the United States per se has a lot of influence there in the area of pharmacology and stuff, or do they?
No, it's the same as in the States.
It is, huh?
It may be that FDA, it's not as strict as it is maybe in certain states, but it's still, it's the law here still.
Okay.
But it may be a little bit less strict.
Well, do you find that both physicians and clinicians are more open to these alternative approaches like ketogenic diets to treat cancer and stuff like that than say in the United States?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I think it's the same thing.
Really?
No, not really. I think it's getting better, but I saw it's in the States, but it's a group of people that always do these things, It's not that it's accepted by the conventional group.
Right.
Much.
Right. Interesting. You know what's funny? My son, Chase, called me up one day and he was so excited and he told me that, we were talking about mitochondria. And he said, do you know that the first mitochondria was actually a virus that invaded the cell? And we think this makes perfect sense actually, because we know that in our evolutionary beginnings, we operated exclusively under an environment of anaerobic glycolysis. And then the mitochondria came along and it was kind of like this hybrid where it could operate on a variety of different fuels. And that changed us completely. So we just assume that the mitochondria was the body's design as part of the survival mechanism, but it wasn't. It was actually a virus that invaded a cell that started the first mitochondria.
I would say more, it's a bacteria, like a bacteria.
Bacteria, that's it. I'm sorry, a bacteria. Yeah. Thank you. So that's true,
yeah,
huh?
It is. It was a great marriage between the cell and the mitochondria, because the cell provided the environment where mitochondria could access the necessary things to produce energy, and the mitochondria gave the cell the energy necessary to further itself and get more complex and be able to form multicellular organisms. And so multicellular complex organisms. So I think we're here because of the mitochondria. If not, we wouldn't have been here. All these complexity of differentiation, neurotransmitters, immune components, it's all because of the high energy produced by the mitochondria.
But also, to come full circle to something you said earlier in the interview, and that is that, it is the mitochondria that kind of dictates the action of DNA. It has its own DNA, but it takes on the it affects the DNA of the cell as well. And if we go back to what you just said, it's true that this cell was this thing that had gone as far as it could go, and then it got infected by the mitochondria, and they had this symbiotic relationship. The mitochondria then affected the cell to be able to become more than it was able to become without the mitochondria, not just because of energy, but possibly because of differentiation.
Yep. Well, definitely behind any successful man, it's a intelligent woman. That's the mitochondria.
I like that. That's great.
But, you know, and then, you know, we have the men always have the last word.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Dear.
Yes, dear. That's
so
the last word.
Definitely the mitochondria rules.
That's funny. So what research can we see coming from your group in the near future, you think?
You know, we've kind of been more involved in clinical things lately, and we don't have any money to do research right now. There's no money for this because people don't see that they can patent any of these nutrients, so there's not going to be much money for this. We had money from what it was called, the Center for the Improvement of Human Functioning, the Riordan Clinic in Wichita, Kansas. But now things are not that, you know, things economically are not that great, so we don't have that money coming up from foundations anymore. And we don't have money for research, so what we're doing is that we're trying to experiment with our patients.
Uh-huh, that's good.
I shouldn't say this, right? But
no, I know what you mean. I know, you're playing.
These things are not toxic, so we're just giving them a chance to see if it works and, you know. And I experiment with my children and that sort of thing, and we're doing pretty well. But other than that, our idea is to try to do some experiments to see if the mitochondria really determines differentiation. I think that will change
everything.
Will change many fields, and it will change the field of cancer, for example, and many other fields. I think if we could prove that, we could maybe even win a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, and that's pretty exciting.
We're not going to get any money to do that, but you know, it's one of the things that if we could prove that, we're just a step of proving that it's important in cancer, you know.
Yeah.
So we have done some early experiments where we have seen that that definitely more than 80% of the energy of the cancer cell comes from glycolysis and not from oxidative phosphorylation. There seem to be some oxidative phosphorylation in tissue, of malignant tissue, but it's very limited to maybe between 10 and 20%. And it seems to be the mitochondria that are not totally damaged yet that are trying to you know. But for the most part, mitochondria are damaged in cancer cells. And the thing is, there has been an issue. This was said by Otto Warburg in the 1920s.
Right.
But in the 70s, there came some studies showing that there was some uptake of oxygen in the mitochondria. And they thought that that uptake of oxygen meant oxidative phosphorylation, but it didn't. It was just some uptake of oxygen, probably because it's a custom of the mitochondria to uptake the oxygen, but it didn't have a way of producing the oxidative phosphorylation. The membrane potential in order to achieve that is not there. Mm-hmm. So it just takes the oxygen, and it kind of even damages the mitochondria membrane because it can't do anything with it. It's oxidized.
Interesting.
So I think it was a wrong interpretation of what they saw, and it's still to today. I think maybe Dr. Seifert mentioned it, but today there's still that confusion that there is oxidative phosphorylation in cancer when it's really almost absent or absent.
Right.
Totally. You know?
Right. You have a book that came out in 2009 I want to plug. I have cancer. What should I do? Is that correct?
Well, that was a question that many of our patients ask us by phone, by email, by in person. So we wanted to make a book so we could reach everybody in every part of the planet. So we wrote that book. Dr. Miranda, me, and Dr. Andrew Soule, who's a great writer. So we wrote the book in order to be able to reach everybody in every corner of the earth. And it's a book written for the educated lay public, but it has all the references needed if a health professional wants to take a look at it.
And they can get that on Amazon?
It has had pretty good reviews. And it brings what we have a project called RECNAC, which is cancer ridden backwards, but we try to revert cancer by non-toxic means.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a protocol there in the book that may be helpful for many cancer patients or any patient of any chronic degenerative disease may benefit from it. So it talks about lifestyle changes, and it talks about supplements in that sort of way.
Okay, now completely off topic, right? Because I know you're in Puerto Rico, right? So do you know what canepas are?
If I know what? I'm sorry?
Canepas. You know?
That's from Ponce. I'm from Ponce, sure.
Okay, so when I lived in Brooklyn, when I was a kid in Brooklyn, they used to bring canepas in. This is a fruit that grows exclusively to Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah.
And it's,
I don't know the name in English, though.
No, we always just call them canepas, but they're small. They're about it's like a big grape, a really big grape, but it's got a hard shell, almost like an avocado on the outside, a really big pit, and there's this fuzzy fruit on the outside of the pit, and it's so delicious. It's tart and sweet at the same time.
Yeah, it has a lot of vitamin C.
Does it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know, but you can't find this fruit anywhere else in the world except in Puerto Rico. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's incredible. And here in Ponce, it's very known because of canepas, where I'm originally from Ponce, so that's where the canepas are. They say that the best canepas are from Ponce, so.
Well, maybe that's true. I just haven't had them since I was a kid, so it's been a long time. Listen,
email me your address, and if I find canepas, I'll try to send you.
Okay, but more importantly, I want you to stay on the line because I want to talk to you about something else as soon as the show ends, okay? So just stay on the line for a minute, okay? All right, well, there you go. Check out his book, I Have Cancer, What Should I Do, on Amazon, Dr. Michael Gonzalez. Also, great discussion and protocol for those out there who want to have healthier mitochondria or want to reverse diseases related to mitochondria dysfunction. And also, thank you to Dr. Christian Gunderson for talking about how testosterone superphysiological levels of testosterone may actually alter the architecture of muscle for a lifetime. And that's not a bad thing, folks. All right. Thank you for listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods, while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. The pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Are you still putting toxic toothpastes in your mouth? Still brushing with sodium lauryl sulfate, which is related to canker sores and gum recession? You've heard a lot of people in the Superhuman Nation talk about how much they love Aura MD. Carl.